thank you all for being here today. I'm especially grateful for the presence of the Gilmore family. I'd like to start off by saying that this is not a Republican issue. This is not a Democratic issue. This issue is a matter of public safety. SB 500 was rushed through the House and the Senate. This bill spent only 13 days in the House. The report that was presented to the House was an error. It indicated that the early release program was for nonviolent offenders. We now know that that is not true. The report indicated that services would be provided. We now know that services have not even been established, yet offenders are being released. The report indicated that it had support from what appeared to be all affected agencies. We now know that the parole board objected, and their voices were heard only in the committee, and that was omitted from the report. Their predictions have now come to pass and are showing to be true. Prior to SB 500, offenders were encouraged to participate in programs. They had to show good behavior. There were reasons for them to be given early release and to acquire parole. They had to show they wanted to improve their lives. Now they don't have to. In fact, there are people who have refused treatment in prison that are now being mandatorily released. The union leader reported this morning that there's been an increase in violence within our prisons. There's no longer a reason for them to show good behavior. Our staff is at risk, our public is at risk, and offenders no longer fear the remainder of their sentences if released because they know they face a mere 90 days. As a woman and as a mother, I find this unacceptable. We must suspend the rules tomorrow to allow a proper vetting of these issues. It is my hope that this will happen before anyone falls victim to one of these offenders. The vote on the suspension of the rules tomorrow is the de facto vote on whether legislators support criminals who do violent crime to our public or whether or not they will support the victims of violent crime. I'd like at this point to turn this over to Senator Bragdon.
Thank you, Representative. Senator Peter Bragdon, Senate Minority Leader. As indicated, the significant problem we have with the Senate Bill 500 is its application to violent and sexual offenders. It calls for the mandatory early release 9 months prior to maximum sentence. It calls for a mandatory cap of 90 days on parole violations. We were led to believe that it would not apply to the violent and sexual offenders. This mandatory nature of it really has an underlying problem as well, in that it takes away discretion from the parole board for making these decisions. As Representative Coffey indicated, it seems like the folks in the House of Representatives were also under that impression based on the committee report that came out. And in reviewing the information from the Senate hearings and the transcripts, the same would be the case. It was stated in the Senate hearings and on the Senate floor that this bill applied only to nonviolent offenders. That was not refuted. If you do a search of the transcripts of the Senate hearings and you search for the word sex, sexual, violent offender, you will not find those words in the hearing report, whereas you will hear a dozen references to nonviolent offenders. I need to correct myself. The word violent offender was used once, and that's when Governor Lynch said, "Let me be clear, violent offenders belong in jail for a very long time." The focus of this bill throughout the testimony on the House and the Senate was on the nonviolent offenders. The application to the violent offenders is what concerns us, is why we are producing the proposed fix for tomorrow. I'd like to turn it back to Representative O'Brien.
Thank you, Senator. We have distributed copies of the bill that we're going to be proposed. We filed jointly in the House and the Senate. It's common sense legislation. It will provide that the 9-month mandatory release before a maximum sentence is served applies only to nonviolent offenders. It will give back to the parole board the discretion as to nonviolent offenders as to whether they are recommitted for 90 days or up to the remainder of their sentences. Violent offenders will in all cases be returned for the remainder of their sentences, minus the credits that they have earned, subject, of course, to further parole. And finally, the intensive treatment will be limited to nonviolent offenders where it can be effective. As I said, copies of the proposed legislation has been circulated. I'd like to now turn this over, if I could, to Representative Jean Chan, and we'll talk about the action in the House intended for tomorrow.
Thanks, Bill, and thanks to everyone who's helped work on this. Unfortunately, Republican Leader Packard had a doctor's appointment this morning, or he'd be standing here in my place, but he is very supportive of this idea. We will be asking for a suspension of the rules tomorrow. We have asked in writing well ahead of time for the Speaker of the House to join us with her party in a bipartisan approach to fix this. The Republican leadership, Representative Packard, sent a letter to the governor requesting he even think about calling a special session. And none of those have been answered yet. So I'm hopeful that we will gain the support of enough people to suspend the rules tomorrow. I mean, you only have to see. I can't imagine anyone thinking there isn't a problem. Because, I mean, every day the press accounts in the paper come up with something new. Every single day there's either a new person or a new thing. I mean, the latest has been alluded to is the programs that were supposedly in place. So we just ask people out there to contact the legislators. There'll be a vote tomorrow on this issue, and we would look for their support. Thank you. And now I'd like to introduce Michael and Jackie Gilmore from North Conway, who have a, I guess you would say, a true life story regarding this issue.
Thank you, Lieutenant.
Thank you. Thank you,
my name's Michael Gilmore. This is my wife, Jacqueline. We are the parents of a girl who was stalked, and her classmate was assaulted. We're here for her because she cannot be here. She wants us to continue this fight. It is not about politics. It is about one issue. That is to protect the kids in the school and protect the rest of the citizenry. I'm sorry. This bill is good, and I have told representatives on both sides and the senator, I agree with the goodness that's in this bill, and I want to see it go forth. What I do object to, what we object to, is there are some provisions in here which took away discretionary power from the parole board, which set a fixed term for parole violations. No wiggle room anyway at all. We don't feel this is right. It's not safe for the community. We cannot send violent or any offender back to serve the rest of his term, only 90 days. Where is the safety in this? These people are now being moved. We're emptying the state prisons and moving them into the community. Let's do it with a close supervision. Let's do it the right way. Get the programs in place first. Get the door fronts open, get the people in there manning it, then let them out. Until then, please do one of two things. Everybody, this is not partisan. Please either stop letting them out of prison, or please take the restrictions off and give the parole board and the people who had the power before, give it back to them and let them do their job. Let them protect us. I can't, my wife can't, and my daughter can't. All we can do is speak out and hope that the rest of the people in this state will please see the truth of what's going on. Drop the party line. Do what's right. Please vote the right way. Please vote for the bill, not your line. Please. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. I guess that pretty well sums it up, I think. Now I'd like to introduce one of the sheriffs that I've spoken to throughout the state on this issue, and the sheriff from Carroll County, Chris Conway.
Hi, good morning. I'm Carroll County Sheriff Christopher Conway. And I want to emphasize what Representative Coffey and Chandler have said, is that this is not a partisan issue. It's not a Democratic issue. It's not a Republican issue. Everybody in this room wants to see convicts reformed. This law does not do that, and it must be changed. It's fatally flawed for more reasons than I can even talk about right now. But it demonstrated that there was leader failure at every level. And I ask that the general court overturn it and to change it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We'd be in position. We'd welcome any questions that you have.
Bill,
Well, you all said that you were misled about this bill. How many of you voted for it?
I did.
Honestly?
I didn't.
Voted against.
So, were you lied to? And if so, what was the motivation, do you think? What was the impetus? I mean, just to set violent offenders free?
Josh, I don't think we were lied to. I think mistakes were made. I think the focus became so myopic that it ended up admitting evidence or information that we would need. I think that as we've heard here, there's worthy aspects of this law, and there was a focus on those worthy aspects, and the negative features to it were ignored. And even in the majority report, I think there a mistake was made. To say we're lied to speaks to an element of intent that we just don't know about. The information was wrong, and it's time to revisit it. You know, what particularly went wrong here was its fast journey through the House and the Senate. You know, this bill was in the House for a little over 3 weeks. I know it becomes frustrating for some as we go through our work and we take our time to do it well, but when we do it, mistakes that are seen in this bill get picked up. So we really now have to return and correct those mistakes.
I just would like to add to that, while it may be easy for some of us who did vote against it originally, I applaud the people who did vote for it and now willing to stand up and say it needs fixing, because I think that takes a lot of courage to admit that, I don't say their vote was wrong, but now they understand that there are problems, and a lot of those that are here today have led the fight to make this change, and I think that's very important.
One of the intents of Senate Bill 500 was to try to save a lot of money in the correction system. Has anybody sort of checked to see what effect on saving money passage of this proposal might have? Cut it in half, a third, two-thirds?
Thank you, Tom. Really, the issue here is the public safety and doing the right thing. And the focus needs to be on correcting the problems. And if there are ways to address this in the future, do it slowly, deliberately, looking at the costs. But right now, it's clear there's a problem. The problem is a public safety problem, which trumps any kind of fiscal problem.
And I came in late, I'm sorry. Did you address the argument that inmates who are violent and get out on their parole are better off, we're better off that way than just having them walk out and disappear?
I guess the concern from our perspective is that whole process regarding violent offenders was not something that was discussed. If indeed that is something that should be done and there's worthy parts of that, that should have a full airing. And you might have missed, Tom, when I was talking about in the Senate hearing, there was no discussion at all about violent offenders, sexual offenders. The whole thing focused on nonviolent offenders. The question was asked, does it apply to nonviolent offenders only? The answer was yes. And on the Senate floor, it was stated only nonviolent offenders. So whatever merit there might be in applying these types of programs to violent offenders, that needs a full public airing, and really the public needs to be convinced that the programs that are supposed to be there are in place, because I think we've seen news stories that those programs aren't there now. So if we're going to do something like that, do it when the state can prove it has the capacity and the ability to get the job done. Bulldog.
What is the procedure in order to ask for suspension of the rules tomorrow?
The procedure, at least in the Senate, is to ask for a suspension of the rules. That would require a two-thirds vote of the senators. If that happens, then a bill can be introduced and is subject to the typical majority vote of amending and passing. I suspect the same is true in the House. It would be to everyone's benefit to have the same version of the bill in both the House and the Senate. I think that's why we work together on this. And we would love to see both the House and the Senate vote to suspend the rules to allow us to fix these problems.
So the Speaker of the House or President of the Senate would be able to block this as long as there's two-thirds of the senators?
A vote to suspend the rules requires two-thirds vote, and that would move us forward. Josh.
Senator, the Gilmores just spoke, and they said there are aspects of this bill that they feel are good, and there's some areas that are flawed, and I think when we spoke earlier, it was the 90-day issue on a parole violation. They can only be sent back for 90 days. The county attorney still maintains the option or the power to prosecute if that violation is deemed a crime. Am I not accurate in that aspect? I guess what my question is, what areas do you think work in this bill, and which ones do you think really need to be changed?
Well, we think the ones that really need to be changed are the mandatory application to violent and sexual offenders, and the mandatory restriction of 90 days. Because there are parole violations that maybe they're not a crime, or maybe I think the existing statute before SB 500 kind of required a conviction of a crime before parole can be revoked. So there's a lot of time that can transpire between something occurs and there's a conviction. So our view again is let's take a step back, focus on the critical public safety issue regarding sexual and violent offenders, and take our time reviewing that next year.
The parole board, who they gave their testimony in one of the committee hearings, it seems like what their concerns might have gone ignored.
I'm not sure. I think there was more of that in the House than there was in the Senate, if I recall correctly, so I can't speak to that. Any further questions? Thank you all. We'll be available for further questions. Thank you.
I'd like to make a comment, if I could, to my colleagues who are going to be voting tomorrow. Once in a while, up here in Concord, the legislature makes a mistake. Just once in a while. I remember very vividly the campground tax that was voted in, and the legislature decided that they made a mistake. The LLC tax was voted in. Guess what? Some folks with smart heads and good brains said, gee, we made a mistake. There's nothing wrong with making a mistake. We all have erasers on our pencils. So I'm asking you folks who voted for this bill tomorrow, don't be ashamed to change your vote. Mistakes do happen. That was a mistake. Let's correct it. We corrected the campground tax. We corrected the LLC with a bipartisan vote. And it isn't a political issue. It's a safety issue. And I know all my Democratic friends and Republican friends feel the same way. So let's get the darn thing done tomorrow. Thank you.
I do have one more question, actually, for you, Sheriff, if you don't mind. A couple of weeks ago, a number of law enforcement agencies stood up here, same podium where you are, and championed this bill, saying it makes public safer. Why do you suppose there's such different philosophies when it comes to the law enforcement community?
I think that law enforcement supported the bill because they didn't understand the total ramifications of it. In Carroll County, I am the Carroll County Sheriff. We have three parole officers. They have caseloads of approximately 200. They have one cruiser between them. Not only is there minimal supervision, there's definitely, there will not be any type of intensive supervision. I can't speak for other law enforcement. I know if they sat down and talked about it, they would reverse themselves. As a matter of fact, they're having a meeting today as we speak, and one of the motions being brought forward is to reverse their earlier support on the issue. And I am very confident that they will reverse themselves.